Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to The Sower. I'm the very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick. Today, we will be reading out of the book of Hebrews in our Bible study. Chapter 2 will be the segment that we will be looking at. And in reference to The Sower, I just want to alight on the fact that The Sower is a product of our Evangelical Church of the Celtic Cross, which is a division or a ministry church of the Protestant, Old Protestant Celtic. Still getting the hang of all of this. We've made a lot of changes over the years, and we're getting settled into our own identity, and I want to thank you all for joining me for this segment. If you'd like to know more about the ministry, you can go to our ministry's website at www.CelticCrossMinistry.com. And in turn, to let you know, we are developing web pages for the Celtic Rite, the Old Catholic Celtic Rite, and the Old Protestant Celtic Rite. And they will have their own pages, their own sites, and you'll be able to link to them eventually when I finish producing them. But they are scheduled and they are in the works as we speak. If you have a prayer intention, you can send that to us at info@CelticCrossMinistry.com. And we'd love to read it right here on The Sower and have those that listen around the world pray for your intention. Now, in those intentions, you can also request to have a birthday announced, and we would be happy to do that too. As we know that prayer intentions are usually somewhat depressing and stressful and a great need immediate. So it's always kind of nice when we can slip in a birthday wish for somebody that has progressed on this planet and the gift of life to learn about God's ways and will for their lives. With all of that said, let us begin with our opening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Hebrews chapter 2. It's not a very long chapter. It's only actually 18 verses. But I want to get into it because I really want, there's a really interesting way to look at Hebrews chapter 2. And that's dealing with hope. Hope in our Lord. And, for example, when you pray and you are praying for help in some matter, or in some way, are you worthy of the help of God? And this is a question that you're going to need to be asking yourself when we're done with our Bible study this evening. So let's begin. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfastness, the very transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. Verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not shamed to call them brethren, well, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make petitions for the sins of people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. I've been struggling with that one word all day, so I apologize for that. But we are human, and Christ was human. I mean, we learn that here in the scriptures, that he himself was made a little lower than the angels. We are lower than the angels, just a little bit. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there is a deep message in here of hope. And did you catch it there at the very last verse in verse 18? He says, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Tempted, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I told you this was going to be a rather interesting study on the scripture of Hebrews. So let us look at it from this way. Here in the author issues the first of five exhortations, okay? And that is in verses 1 through 4, verses 3, 1 through 4, 4 through 16, 5 through 11, and 6, 20, and it just goes on. Believers have heard from the Lord God, because we have heard the gospel message. His very majesty demands, ladies and gentlemen, that's not a, okay, I will when I want to. No, God demands, his word demands of you that we listen attentively. He says, drift away. To what he says, drift away. And we're talking about verse 1 here. The author's audience was marked by immaturity and spiritual sluggishness. The author warned them not to be carried away by the popular opinions that surround them. Instead, they were to hold fast Christ's word, because they were the words of God. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, just in that very first verse, when we look at our world and the surroundings that we are dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and that's not even counting outside of our inner circles, what's happening in the town and the community next door to you, the state next door to your state, or the country next to your country, as it goes completely around the world, what is happening in everyone's life. We have blinders on like a horse so that they're not spooked by things off to the side, or they don't get excited by things off to the side. We need to stay focused. And the author of Hebrews is dictating that very thing. Why? So that we don't drift away. Drift away from whom? From God himself, from Christ, from the love of Christ, from the salvation of Christ, the promises of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in verse 2, the word spoken through angels. Everybody likes angels. We've got the guardian angels, we've got Michael the archangel, we've got Gabriel the announcer. I mean, everybody loves the angels. Remember, you're lower than them. They have power over you, but they do not interfere. And that is made very clear here in the scriptures. He goes on to say, the law was delivered from God to Moses by angels. And you can look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, Acts chapter 7, verse 38-53, and Galatians 3-19. How shall we escape if the people who heard the message delivered through the angels were justly punished when they disobeyed the law? How can believers expect to escape punishment when they neglect to even greater message delivered through the greater messenger, the Son? He is times in verses 1 through 3. The author warns these believers, including himself, about neglecting salvation and losing out on the opportunity to reign with Christ. The great salvation cannot be a reference merely to justification, because this salvation was first spoken by the Lord. Justification was spoken of in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. It was the Lord who first spoke of his followers, inheriting his kingdom, reigning with him. Those who heard him. The author includes himself among those who had not heard the Lord himself. Now, before we get into verse 4, let's look at that again. The author warns these believers, including himself, about neglecting salvation and losing out on the opportunity to reign with Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, right there, once saved, always saved. No, 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 no. Don't believe it. If you've heard it, if you think that that's true, get it out of your heart. Get it out of your mind, because it's not true. What is true is that each and every day you need to work on your relationship with God, coming closer to him, doing more for him, in listening to him, God, Christ. Christ, the messenger, who gave the word of God to us. And yet, we're already warned in the first verse, in the second verse, and going into the third, that our surroundings, those things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis that tempt us and try us and torment us at times and elate us at times, we have to be very careful and mindful of what is a blessing and what is of God and what is a curse and what is of Satan. We can get, if we don't know, let's put it this way, if we are not careful of our salvation, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in other words, accepting Christ into our heart, and if we choose not to live 24/7, 365 for him for the rest of our lives, enduring, quote unquote, until the end, the holy word of God, not the word of man, not the whims of man, not the social media of mankind, what their opinions are, whether they are right or wrong. What is right is of God. Righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. You need to protect your salvation. And one thing about the Evangelical Church of the Celtic Cross in this ministry is we want to empower you with that understanding and that respect. And that fear that you can lose it if you make the wrong choices in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be forgiven. That is where hope comes in. So let's move on. The world to come is the future rule of the Son and his companions on earth. In 2, 6 through 8, since the Son's humanity might appear to be the obstacle to the claim of his superiority, the author of Hebrews cites Psalms 8 in the lyrical reflections in Genesis 1 to prove that God has placed humanity over all created things, which includes the angelic world. When we ask for St. Michael to come and help us, when we ask St. Michael to come and defend us, when we ask God to send the angels to protect a loved one, that is giving us command over the angels. And the angels run that message back to God for permission or decline. Think about that. Okay, somebody's knocking at the door, but I'm going to ignore it because we are live, although you'll be listening to this later in the archives or on video later. But now, the rule of human beings over God's creation has been delayed because of sin. Humanity's conclusion with Satan has brought all people into collision with God. Not yet indicates that the delay is only temporary. Human beings will rule over creation, but it will be through Jesus Christ. But we see Jesus. The author uses Christ's human name, Jesus. The power in the name of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. For the first time in this letter, citing phrases from, again, Psalms 8. The author points out that Christ, by his humiliation and exaltation, regained what Adam lost, the original calling for human beings to rule over God's creation. Philippians 2, 6 through 11, and Revelations 5, 1 through 14. So let's jump ahead here a little bit. There's another couple of points I want to make here. Matter of fact, let me pull out of that, because I've got some notes marked here in my scriptures. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with writing in your Bible. It is your Bible. And if it helps you to note something or reflect on something, then I encourage you to do that. Okay? Because it is the divine word of God, and it is God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, working inside your heart and helping to nurture and grow the understanding and the discernment that Christ, your Father. Okay, in verse 15, help is on the way. We see that by it says, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In verse 16, he says, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are a member of the seed of Abraham. You have the power over angels. You have to guard your salvation and protect it. It should be in your heart and mind the first and foremost thing, the most precious commodity that you own and have is your salvation. But yet, the world gets in there and you slip, you stumble, you fall, you're tempted. But there is that hope, and we just saw it, because he says, for their lifetime subject to bondage. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in bound to the rule of others, the rule of law, the rule of land, the opinions of others. Thing about opinions is everybody's got one. Now, I could elaborate on that in a more carnal way, but I think you get my message. Opinions only matter when it pertains to God. Outside of that, why would Christ say, let your yes be yes and let your no be no? For anything more is of Satan. So if people are given their opinions and they are chastising or they are pointing out or they are suggesting, then take it for what it's worth. Is it a message of God coming at you? Is it a message of God through the angels coming at you to guide you, of Satan to throw a stumbling block into your path, to get you off of the path of righteousness and of God and of the light of Christ? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. Ladies and gentlemen, he loves you. Do you love him back enough? Because in verse 17 he says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make petition for the sins of the people. One purpose, excuse me, Christ's one purpose in this world, growing up, was to serve God and to learn of God. Do you remember when he was lost for 3 days from Mary and Joseph and his brothers and sisters? And they came back searching and searching and searching, and where did he find Jesus? They found him in the temple with the teachers. Now, I'm sure he learned a few things because he was only about 12 or 13 years old then. But when they found him, when Mary, his mother, found him, he was teaching the teachers. And what doctrine was this? It wasn't anything that the Jewish community is reading today. And yet they're the chosen? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are the chosen. Why? Because you are of the seed of Abraham. just as they. But what's remarkable about this, in our last 5 minutes, I want to hit this. When we hear this in verse 18, he says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." So when you're tempted to get in an argument, to get into a fight, to cheat, to lie, to steal, to give homage and worship to something that you think may be worthy, ladies and gentlemen, none of those things I just mentioned are of God, but every last one of them are of Satan, and they are a tool of Satan. Christ spent 40 days in the desert. And Satan, I am sure, even though it's only recorded 3 times of his temptation in the desert, and towards the latter end of it, there is no doubt in my mind and heart that Christ was not tempted every single waking moment of every single day that he was tempted. But what got him through that, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm going to tell you right now. Learning of God, listening to God, talking to God. God is your best friend. God is your brother. He is your sister. He is your everything. Your mother, your father. He is not your sugar daddy. He is not the granter of wishes, although he does give good gifts, and he does take care of his children. But it's according to his will and not yours. So as much as you may want and feel and think you need whatever, be it good health, be it great grades in school, be it a better job, you know, maybe he's trying to make you humble from certain things in your life. Maybe he's giving you a calling to join the priesthood or the sisterhood. You have experience that other people can relate to, just as Christ related his times to those around him. Yes, he spoke in parables, and we're not speaking in parables. But what we are thinking about here is, for example, in verse 3, he says, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The author is talking about himself hearing the word of Christ. When we say we hear, because there's also that reflection that we learned in the study where he's talking about not hearing. Those that have ears will hear. And there are those that have ears that hear the word, but it don't go nowhere. They don't do nothing with it. They are not the saved. It is going to be in the second coming, when he comes, he is going to divide the faithful from the shaft. Okay? The harvest will be coming, and it's coming soon. So remember that and work on that every single day. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I want to thank you for joining me for The Sower. Tune in next week for another chapter and Bible study. I'm the Very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick with the Celtic Cross Foundation of Ministry and the Evangelical Church of the Celtic Cross right here on The Sower, and we'll be praying for you. Thank you.